We'll be right back in just a bit on 720 WGN.
This is for all of the women, women of color, and colorful people whose stories, ideas, thoughts are not always considered worthy and valid and important. But I want you to know that I see you, we see you. It is an honor to be on this show, Black-ish, to continue expanding the way we are seen and known, and to show the magic and the beauty and the sameness of a story and stories that are outside of where the industry usually looks.
WGN. It's Amy Guth on the Saturday Night Special. You're just listening to Tracee Ellis Ross making her acceptance speech for an award that she won for her work on the show Black-ish. And very, very powerful words that she said there, very important ones. Well, we have been talking this evening, as you might guess from that clip that we just played, all about awards shows. But we're not just talking about the movies and the shows that are featured in them, but in fact, all these very complex issues and narratives that circle around them. We started talking about representation, certainly, both from the LGBTQ community as well as we were talking about racial inclusion and diversity that we see in Hollywood, and we were certainly also talking about political moves as we look at acceptance speeches from way back, not just Meryl Streep in recent days at the Golden Globes, but way, way back. So lots of things to consider when we talk about awards shows, certainly. None the least of which is the work itself, right? That is a thing we certainly have to think of, because there's always conversation around that. And usually it's like, of course that one won because it's so wide appeal, or of course that one because of this. You know, there's lots of sometimes eye rolls if the movie you didn't want to win wins and things like that. And there's no pleasing everyone, of course, but we have a really interesting lineup this year as we look at Oscar nominations, as we looked at the Golden Globes. We have a lot that was based on theatrical scripts, right, on plays. We have a very clear response to last year's Oscar So White criticism that there wasn't enough diversity and inclusion. So it's a really interesting awards season this year in particular. So joining us now, regular contributor to this program, is Katie Reif from the AV Club. Hi, Katie. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, how are you? Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk with you. I think when we last met, we were talking about horror movies around yeah. Halloween time, and I watched all of them that you recommended, and they scared the bejesus out of me in the best way possible. So those were excellent
picks. Yeah, I was going to say, did you leave the light on afterwards?
Absolutely. Absolutely, without a doubt. So how are you feeling about the Golden Globes as we're moving into Oscar time?
Well, you know, I mean, I liked La La Land, but I'm not quite as up on it as some of my colleagues are. So moving into the Oscars season, I would say that, you know, maybe I'm not quite rooting for the front runner, which is La La Land.
Right. A lot of people are feeling really conflicted about La La Land because, right, it's great. It's a great movie. It's uplifting. You leave.
Sure.
It's very touching. I think I said lovely and gutting when the credits started rolling, you know.
Yeah.
And in all the right ways. And it's beautiful. We haven't seen a movie like that in a long time. But I think there's some people that are just like, I just can't totally drink the La La Land Kool-Aid.
Sure. I mean, for me, when I'm watching it, gosh, I have a lot of really complex feelings about that film because I like it and I walked out of it feeling uplifted. But then the more I thought about it, the more I thought maybe people say it's going to bring back the musical.
Right.
And I think about, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers kind of musical numbers. And I think it's a complex question because it doesn't necessarily live up to that, you know.
Right.
It's not all Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling aren't singing and dancing on the same level as the people that were doing in the 50s and 60s, but the question is, are they trying to? So it's a complex question.
Right. So we also see a bit more diversity this year, and as we're looking at Oscar nominations, than we have in years past. I think a lot of that is due in part to the Oscar So White campaign that we saw last year.
So.
Yeah. Who do you think? Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I think the film that maybe that's another tough question, because I think the film that maybe is coming to, you know, is rising to the top this year is Moonlight.
Mm-hmm.
And that is maybe rising to the top and is getting attention it wouldn't have otherwise, perhaps because of that controversy. But I think it is a completely worthwhile, beautiful film. I voted it my number one film of 2016 in our end of the year poll. And I think it's just like a really poetic piece of filmmaking that I would hesitate to say it's because of the Oscar So White, because that makes it sound like a token pick when really it's a great piece of filmmaking.
Yeah, I think that's a front runner for a lot of people. I've heard a lot of people pick that one. And a lot of people also say, I didn't know what to expect walking into that film, but it blew me away. I think it surprised a lot of people.
Yeah, I actually saw it. I hadn't heard anything about it. And then my boss at work, our film editor, told me, hey, you should go see this movie Moonlight because it's a really good film. And I saw it, and I, you know, it took me, I had to kind of collect my thoughts afterwards because I thought it was a really profound statement on identity. And I think it's a really empathetic film. And I think that's something that we could all really use these days when we're all very divided politically. We could all really use something that is very empathetic and just tells you something about somebody who maybe their point of view isn't always represented.
Right, right.
And it shows you their point of view in a really, like, profound way.
Well, I always think it's very interesting to watch creative work, particularly films and books, responding even very indirectly to, and even sometimes very subconsciously, responding to cultural moments. So I've been very interested to see what's happening in those two realms in particular, even though it goes into, I think, all creative work, but especially movies and books. I think you see it so clearly. You can draw those parallels. In your mind, who was just completely robbed and who was just overlooked, but maybe they do speak to a cultural moment, or maybe they were overlooked because they don't speak to a cultural moment?
Oh, wow. A movie that has made some waves on the indie circuit but isn't being recognized on a grand scale, who I think is really good. There was a film called The Love Witch. It's playing at the Gene Siskel Film Center right now. It came out in November, and it's playing again now. It's a female director. Her name is Anna Biller. She lives in Los Angeles. And what it is it's a film that sort of recreates the 70s style of exploitation film, but she remade it as a comedy. So she remade sort of something that could be considered kind of sexist, like a movie about a witch who seduces men and kills them, but she recasts it as a feminist farce.
Interesting.
And it's really good. And I don't think the Academy is going to acknowledge her, but I think they should, because she made it in a way that precisely replicates that 70s look, and it's playing on film, on 35mm film, at the Gene Siskel Film Center. I think it's playing this week still. It's been selling out all over the country, in New York, L.A., here. Just all these screenings are selling out. That's something that maybe has been overlooked by the Academy that is worth checking out.
Definitely. That's a great recommendation for that one. That's very interesting. And that sounds like no easy task, to recast an exploitation film to be both funny and feminist.
Yeah, but really, really funny. She made it really funny, yeah.
Well, you've never led us astray, Katie, so we're going to trust you on that one for sure. If you're
God, that's a burden, right?
I know. Such responsibility, right? But nonetheless, you steered us to greatness with your Halloween picks, so we're going to follow on that one and go see The Love Witch. Well, and then we move into the Best Director category, and immediately all the love we have for maybe some progress around diversity and inclusion really runs away pretty quickly, as we see it really just all a bunch of dudes, all about the same age.
Sure, all dudes. Yeah, all dudes. Well, it's interesting. There was a the University of San Diego does a survey every year about women directing films. And the thing about that survey is that it's only the top 250 grossing films at the box office. So you're not really including the sort of fringes of filmmaking. But honestly, the top 250 grossing films, that's a pretty big net. And it was 7% this year, down from 9% in 2015. So it's actually dropping in terms of feature film representation for women who are directing feature films.
And why do we think that is? Other than, you know, like the patriarchy. I don't know.
If I knew, I would fix this.
Right. Indeed.
Yeah, well, I mean, women are making some strides in television. I think television, you're seeing more female directors because, you know, you talk about women-led films and stars and stuff like that. But I think you really need to look at the writers and directors if you want to really get into who's running the show.
Right. And you're right. There, it has been like we are seeing some women doing some really powerful things in television right now for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially when you look at Amazon. Amazon is growing in power, and Jill Soloway with Transparent is really, you know, she's pretty powerful these days.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's, I mean, I feel like every time I look up, her name is in a headline because she's won something else for her work
right?
on Transparent. She's, yeah, quite powerful indeed. So as we move into lead actor and lead actress categories, as we're looking at those for the awards that are coming up, I feel like people are very, and this is completely anecdotal, but I feel like there's so many people that are just so meh. I don't think anybody's feeling really strongly about people in that one this year. The most I've heard is Natalie Portman and Jackie, but still, even that, people are like, she was good, but it's okay.
She was good. She was good. And, you know, Emma Stone is a strong contender for La La Land, and I work at the AV Club, which is, you know, the Onion's pop culture wing, and all of my colleagues are very up on La La Land, and I don't dislike it, but I'm kind of, it's okay.
Yeah. Who's your pick for best actor and best actress?
I would put up Isabelle Huppert for Elle, which won a Golden Globe, and I was kind of surprised she won the Golden Globe for Elle because it's a very challenging film.
Yeah.
It's a great film, but I wouldn't recommend it to everybody. And as far as best actor goes, anybody who played the main character... Moonlight is an interesting example because you have three different actors playing the main character throughout his life, right? Mm-hmm. And so who is the best actor out of those three?
Right, you kind of shoot yourself in the foot on that one, right?
Right. Do you divide it up amongst those three people? Do you give the best actor award to all three of those guys? Because if I could do that, that's what I would do. I would give best actor for all three of the actors who play the main character in Moonlight, if you asked me.
I like that. I'm all for dismantling a system. That's okay. We can do it. We can share it around three people. Well, and so what are some other maybe some actors that have just been completely overlooked? You're so in touch with independent films and films that are so high quality, but perhaps overlooked just because of, you know, a box office gross, something like that. What are the ones you feel really strongly about?
Well, a film that I think is going to get some minor awards love, but I think could get a little more, is Hell or High Water, which Taylor Sheridan, who acts in it, he also wrote the screenplay. It's an excellent screenplay. And listen, if you're mad about the government, you know...
it's the film for you.
If you think the government is taking away... If you're... The thing about Hell or High Water is it can appeal to both sides of the political spectrum. If you're a left winger or a right winger, no matter what, if you think the government is, you know, cheating people out of their fair share, Hell or High Water is the film for you.
Maybe it's the film that's going to unite the nation. Maybe.
Perhaps.
we'll
half. It's a good Western on top of it. And it's got Jeff Bridges in a really good performance, a cowboy role.
Right. And he is nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think Mahershala Ali should win that for Moonlight.
Right. I haven't heard anyone say otherwise. I think everybody's got that pick for
he's
sure.
He's a very strong. I was a little surprised that because Aaron Taylor Johnson was pretty good in Nocturnal Animals, but mm-hmm. Nocturnal Animals is sort of a film that, you know, it's a style over substance sort of thing, in my opinion.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
You know, one that we haven't mentioned that I think a lot of people. It's funny because at first, when Manchester by the Sea first came out, a lot of people were real excited, and then it's shifted to this very kind of thing. It's like a very pastel reaction.
Manchester by the Sea has its own complications because, well, I mean, if we can draw a parallel to The Birth of a Nation, which came out earlier this year, it received a very strong reception at Sundance. Got a standing ovation, all that stuff. Then it came out later in the year that the director had a background where he had been accused and went to trial for sexual assault. Casey Affleck, the star of Manchester by the Sea, and to be fair, he is very good in that film. He is very good in that film. The AV Club, who I work for, actually voted that our best film of the year. He has also... Not quite to the same level, you know, never gone to trial, anything like that. I don't mean to say Casey Affleck has been accused of anything like that by any means, but he's got some sexual harassment allegations that have dogged him throughout his career. And that's sort of muted the awards response to Manchester by the Sea, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think there's also like the social media kind of backlash against, hey, I don't think... let's take these two actors, both accused of things. And I don't think Casey Affleck is getting the same level of scrutiny.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard a lot of people say that he's not being held to the same level of scrutiny as perhaps Nate Parker was, the director of The Birth of a Nation. Yeah.
Right. So there's always so many competing narratives around all these things. Like I said at the top of the show, right?
It's so
just,
many.
Like people think it's just, the glitz and glamour and the red carpet and the pretty statues. There's so much to it. And there's all this kind of backstory. And I think social media it really plays an interesting role because we don't. We don't often watch, or at least all of us together, watch television live anymore. You know, we all just kind of watch it when we watch it on Netflix. But award shows and sporting events and big disasters are when we're all looking at the TV. And so it becomes this second experience to look at social media because everybody's sitting there updating the same thing, which is really a fascinating thing, just kind of cultural moment to be in and to be able to watch with people in that way.
Yeah, and there's so many layers to it where you have the immediate reaction, and then you have the backlash to that reaction, then you have the backlash to the backlash. There's so many layers.
And then you have the think piece, and then the pontificator, and then you have there's all the things.
Absolutely, yeah, there's so many layers.
All the things. Well, thank you for talking with us about all the things, because indeed there are so many layers.